Broadcasting once again from the Barthcade. This is the Coin Rejects, episode 60. And we're back. I am indeed in the Barthcade with
Barth.
One half of the Coin Rejects around the Barth Bar.
50%.
I'm here with
Jordan.
And Skyping in, we have
Ian
and Brandon.
Yay. If you want to find us on the web, we are at coinrejects.com. If you want to send us an email, we are coinrejects@gmail.com. We're coinrejects on Instagram, coinrejects on Twitter. And if you want to send us a voicemail,
you would go dial 503-766-2263.
And we just so happen to have an voicemail right here. So here goes.
Hey, this is Bobby. I've been listening to the podcast for a while, but haven't actually contacted. So I thought I'd call and just drop a message and say, hey. So just so that I have something to talk about, I was wondering what your thoughts are on cabinets as far as purely artwork basis that are your favorites. Like not the game itself, but just art that you like the art package. Personally, I like the Atari cabarets or the wood grain. And like the optional sticker on the side, I always thought was a good look. Universal cabinets I like. But I think my favorite, just for its complete gaudiness, is Swimmer. It's like they wanted to put as many stickers on there as they could. So they just covered the cabinet with a bunch of weird artwork. Another one to look at is Eyes. The Zaccaria Italian version has a pretty cool look to it, I think. So anyway, sorry for my low energy message here. It's just been, you know, that kind of year. But keep up the podcast. I always look forward to hearing it. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you. That was a good voicemail. Good to hear from another listener. You know, we have to turn down a lot of these every month, but you know, once in a while, a good one gets through. Thank you, Brian.
We only allow low energy voicemails.
that's
the ticket. It's just not.
Just the right amount.
Yeah.
So, anybody want to talk about art?
Now I have to Google every arcade cabinet possible because I just blanking on everything now. Swimmer.
I think Swimmer is a cool looking cabinet. I like that one a lot. Yeah. I think like the easy answer for this, just in terms of over the top cool art package, is Tron. I think that has an awesome art package, and the game doesn't live up to it. But I think the cabinet is just objectively awesome as hell. Another art package I really, really like. What?
Only from the front. The side is kind of shitty. The Tron art is kind of...
It's in a row.
Tron looks really good. We're staring at one right now, and that's got a good art package on it, which is very similar to... I mean, some of the aspects of it are similar to Tron. It's got some of the...
Better side art than Tron, I think. Yeah, yeah. And then the front is, you know, as cool. And then even better if you look, because it's got the 3D marquee, you know. So I'm a big fan of that. I always have that on the end of a row. I put my favorite ones.
I also want to give a shout out to the Wizard of War art package, which is one that I've always really liked. Something about the, like, weird robed evil robot monk deal really does it for me. I like that shit a lot. And you will hear no objections from me about cabaret art packages. I have several of them right behind me at the moment.
Cabarets are, in my mind, lack of art package. And that's how the fronts pop, kind of, right? Like, from the front, they look really good. At least, well, just looking behind you, Centipede and Dig Dug and the ones that have the full, like, bezel art.
Yep.
Yeah.
But most cabarets are kind of plain, like, asteroids and whatever.
I have... the side art on my Centipede and Asteroids Deluxe cabarets, and I think it looks pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, Centipede, as a rule, I think has got excellent side art and just art package in general. And like lots of the Atari vectors, like Gravatar and Space Duel, are really good looking side art. I'm also really partial to stenciled side art, so I really like the Zookeeper art package, where it's like all over stenciled, and same with Williams cabinets. And one of my favorites, which I'm kind of partial to because I own one, is the Food Fight art package, which you've got the bezel, has lots of good stuff on it, the control panel overlay, and then the full sides with the custom cut cabinet to accommodate like the pies and stuff that are being held by old Charlie Chuck.
Chuck Charlie. Is that his name, Charlie Chuck?
I think so.
I think the game is called Charlie Chuck's Food Fight.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a different... I thought his last name was something else.
Chester Chuck? Charlie Chester? Charlie...
Chuck and Charlie?
If only you were home, Brian. See?
No,
you already,
right
had a disadvantage.
Yeah. Already had a disadvantage. I'm a sucker for just the classic Atari white background with a nice colorful side art. I really love the way those games look. And I've got plenty of them. And I think on the corner right now, I got like a millipede. I think that was really crazy looking art. The archer dude, you know, and with all the crazy millipede looking down at him. Looking around, I can see the side of a Superbug, and that's got really freaking dope art. It's got like a Volkswagen Beetle with like Atari logos and Atari tires and a crazy like blonde long-haired mustachioed dude with handlebar mustache driving the thing, and it's total 70s bright colors. Looks great.
Reactor's
nice art too. Definitely looks like there's a lot going on in those bright bright orange side. I love the art more than the games most of the time. I'd rather just like look at the cabinets. So it's hard for me to like pick a favorite. I really like the way arcade games look from the classic era. Universal are amazing. I don't have any Universal games, but I love the way they look with so many. The extra marquee is really freaking cool. And then Zachariah games are just bananas. I can just look at those anytime. Yeah. Love
those
seeing those things. So, yeah, I can't pick a favorite.
I'll also throw out a couple more that I think have awesome art packages. Death Race has a terrific package. It's got that kind of like Ed Roth style hot rod, you know, fucking the Grim Reaper riding around. Mm-hmm. I think that's just awesome as shit. I love it. And I also think the Sega Samurai is a really wicked cool looking cabinet and art package. I don't know, I don't know nothing about the game, but I think the art package looks phenomenal. And I also will throw out a real oldie, an EM game called Midway Asteroid. Not Asteroids, but Asteroid. I think that's a really sharp-looking game. Just a really cool cabinet. It's got these, like... It's got this like really heavy 60s style with these raised like star emblems on the front of it. And it's just a really great looking cabinet. Super cool.
This guy right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's like that cabinet that Midway used for a lot of their first black and whites.
It looks like, I think, Dog Patch.
Oh, I guess that is
similar.
A mid, not an... I thought there was an EM, but maybe I'm misremembering, and it's a... black and white space war type game.
Oh, well, looks like it's black and white. Is this Pong? Oh, it's like Space Race maybe or something. I don't know. I was thinking of stuff while you guys were talking. I definitely agree. Like all the I was just googling shit while you're talking and not listening. Atari stuff, like the Atari Vectors, I love that. Like Black Widow has a really cool one with like the weird spiky dudes on the sides. The marquee's fucking awesome on Black Widow with the little hands coming down.
Like almost like they're controlling a marionette or something.
Yeah, and then like Grubstake on the CP, that's boss. You can't deny any of the stencil stuff too, right? Like Space Invaders. And when you talk about art, you can't just talk about like the sides and the marquee and the bezel. Like if it has like mirrored art, right? That's part of it.
Yeah.
So like Space Invaders has like the, you know, like the planet and the galaxy backdrop and
That's definitely art.
Mm-hmm. And then
good point.
Seawolf.
The shit inside of Asteroids Deluxe. How about all that?
Yeah. Seawolf. Has the cool thing about Seawolf is it has see right there. It has the periscope, right? It has like integrated art, like it's art installation, man. It has like physical good shit on it and front art stencil sides and all that, and it has like the curved periscope top and all that. Yeah, I think the stencil stuff is really cool because they so I think it's more it's not printed, right? It's sprayed on, so it looks kind of, I think it looks more like art than printed art, I guess screened art. And then the last one I was thinking of, it was Tapper, in that same light of having like the actual like physical cup holders and the footrest and all that, like the wood grain printed on wood bar and all that, and the guy on the side, like that has some pretty detailed artwork on the side art on Tapper.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize what all's going on there. It's like, it's actually like telling the story of the game. The bartender's like, he's got a frantic look on his face and the angry patrons and everything. You know, he kind of have to point it out. Like, yeah, look, it's the actual game.
Yeah, it has more of a realistic portrayal versus like a lot of the, you know, like Atari stuff's more like, I guess it's like cartoony looking.
Yeah, more fantasy version, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Omega Race, too, also has a wicked great art package.
Yeah. Especially cockpit with the interior art.
Mm, oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the interior art is a good point. Like those games like Space Invaders and Asteroids Deluxe, and even like some of the black and whites like Frogs, have just beautiful art inside the cabinet and the half silver mirror that just kind of makes everything float over it. Looks really great.
Yeah. We've said that before, that as the newer you get with games, like the less that stuff, or the more that stuff goes away, and they concentrate more on like the, obviously, the game itself, right? A lot of the art stuff is just kind of phoned in the later games, like just offset printed, like, you know, Mortal Kombat, how it's kind of shitty quality side art, and Turtles, it's like, yeah.
Like the photo quality, like a Photoshop job on the side art.
Yeah.
Like a Stern pinball.
Not very inspired.
it's not inspired at all. But they're cranking shit out so fast, I guess. Oh, even then, that's the thing that's cool, too. Like, the classics, they have, like, some really, really good art packages for cranking that shit out so fast.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the companies had art departments, like, full on. Yeah,
dedicated.
You know, all the time, making art, you know. Later on, it was just a... Oh shit, we have to put some art on here. I'll give them a sticker to stick on the side that has the name of the game.
Go take a picture of four turtles and call them Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't want to like rat hole on this too much because I think we've spent a lot of time on it, but there are so many great art packages, and I want to throw out a couple more. Midway Dog Patch.
Yes.
This is a phenomenal game. I really love it, and I would love to own one someday, but the art package on it is so good. I mean, it is just phenomenal how good it is. And in particular, it has a thing I love, which is the EM pinball style, semi-translucent integrated bezel marquee. So like there's not a separate marquee and bezel. It's all one thing. And it's got, you know, the art printed on it, and then it has a mask layer except on the logo. So when it's backlit, the logo portion of the bezel lights up. And it's just such a good-looking cabinet. I mean, really incredible. Hard-to-find game, but super fun, beautiful-looking game. I would love to have one someday.
Yeah, it's really well done. And it seems like they went more towards the realistic side with a lot of mid-weighted, with a lot of their art, all the way from up to, like, Tapper and stuff, for the most part. But, that bezel... They did that a lot with like Space Invaders does the same thing where it has like the border and then just the marquees lit. Well, the bezel portion. That is awesome.
I think they had a head start, you know, from their EM days. They knew how to make a good looking video game or a good looking arcade game.
Was this a 2-part question besides the art?
I think the rest was just tedious, like listening to us.
No. Oh, we like listening to you too.
Yeah, thanks for the call, that was the... That was a good voicemail. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Bobby.
Is Ian going to continue to be our chief email reader?
I'm happy to be our chief email reader.
I'm only going to volunteer myself if it's like two sentences because.
Okay, so we have some emails this month. First one is from Sam M., who says, I just moved to a place with a nice daylight basement for my arcade, so more games maybe in my future. One issue I have is my new place was built in 1917 and has an older electric panel and is full, so I can't add any more breakers to the panel, which means I probably have to upgrade it for my arcade to run properly. So my question for all of you is, what amp breaker values and how many breakers should I have for an arcade of 20 plus games? I have games like Asteroids Deluxe, which I was told pulls a lot of amps, and pins like Twilight Zone and Flight 2000. Hope you can help me with my issue so I can get the Digital Jazz Arcade fully up and turned on without tripping breakers or starting a fire, but most importantly, games playing with no glitches or power supplies smoking. Not sure I agree that it's more important not to have the games glitch than to burn your house down. I'd probably put not burning the house down as the highest priority thing on that list. Good question. Anyone want to take that? Or I can...
I have experience with breakers and how many that I have. I had a panel with plenty of room, and I've done some electrical work, but I'm not an electrician, so don't sue me. Most games pull about 2 amps, basically, give or take. Pinballs will pull more. I don't think an Asteroids Deluxe is any different than any other 19-inch game, really. It's like a TV, it's a 19-inch TV.
Well, it's got an extra fluorescent lamp in there, right? Or maybe two fluorescent lamps in there, which maybe draw a little bit more.
A little bit more. But pinballs will definitely draw more. Generally, modern pinballs seem to use up a lot of voltage. They have, or amperage. Their power supplies are much more robust and various voltages on there and things that take more amps, like bright flashers and spinning motors and crap like that. So I'm pretty sure what I found that you can, on a 20 amp circuit, which is your common circuit, is generally, when you add a breaker, it's a 20 amp breaker, and then your wiring is 20 amp, which is like 12-3 Romex, whatever they call it. Romex, thank you. That kind of circuit will reliably run 10 games. So, if you have one of those circuits for every 10 games, you'll be fine. I believe I have a lot of shit in my basement as far as stereos and other monitors, I guess, and lights, some lights, but it's mostly video games. And I believe there's 4 breakers running everything down here. And it's not to the limit, but... there was Island Pirate was in my driveway once, and I forgot that he was running a freaking electrical heater in his RV, and it kept popping the breakers when I was trying to have a party. I'm like, what the fuck? My breakers never pop. And then he reminded me that he was out there with an electric heater. So shit like that, you can't run a lot of. But video games, you can run, like 10 on a circuit, and it's usually fine. That's my experience. I don't know if you guys have any other experiences.
I would say maybe 8 games or 9 games on a 20 amp circuit. You can get a device you can stick in between the wall and the game that will actually let you measure how much current it's drawing. However, the amount is not constant, and in particular, when you first turn a game on, it will draw more current than after it's been on a couple minutes. So you want to leave yourself a little bit of headroom, both as a safety margin and in case you just like flip a switch and turn it all on at once. So I would probably leave yourself 2 amps-ish of headroom on that. However, whatever circuit you've got, just make sure you're not loading it up to the max. Give yourself a little space.
Oh, that's what breakers for. It'll break. That I know that machine, that thing is called a kilowatt. And I think if you search Clav, I think Frizz put a bunch of different games through a kilowatt, or somebody did. So you can do a quick search on Clav and you'll see what games pull. You'll get a good idea right there because somebody did the work for you already. So you don't have to go buy a kilowatt. Just search it and you'll know. Or plug them all in, and then when it pops the breaker, start unplugging some.
No.
You'll find the magic number when it quits popping the breaker.
That's ghetto.
The way electricity works is if everything is up to code, if you have the right size wire, the breaker protects all the circuits. So
yeah,
it's meant to break. But if you have like undersized wire and you're, putting more current through there than it's designed for, that shit can heat up and you could maybe start a fire. So don't crimp out, whatever it is there. Don't be cheap.
Scrimp.
I was going to say, one thing you missed though is 1917, right? So my house is a 1925 house, and when we moved in, most homes that are that old, they basically they have 100-amp service. That was the standard back then. You know, like the older houses were like around 100 amps. So when we moved in, I had it upgraded to 200-amp. They don't even offer 100-amp service anymore for new residential homes. And so you want to look at your panel, first of all, make sure it's, I had to get a new meter put in and a new panel for 200-amp service. So they're going to have to come out, put a whole new drop in. And also, I actually had the game room beefed up with 20-amp circuits as well. And the service that was in this house was the fucking, God damn it, it's escaping me.
Like rod and tube, that kind of shit?
You mean not? No, it's knob and tube, yeah.
Knob and tube? It wasn't that shit, yeah. Was it?
It also had the fuses, the glass fuses. And those are actually pretty reliable, but the thing is, yeah, you should really see what your service is the contributor there. And if you're planning on pulling multiple games in, for example, our house had an air conditioner installed, but we only had 100-amp service. With a washer and dryer, stove, dishwasher, our house was pushed out more than what the panel even supported, and so nothing ever worked at the same time, I believe. I think when this house was here before, when the people were living here before, so check your panel. You're probably going to have to get up to a 200-amp service at this point if you don't have it. And yeah, the same thing that you guys said, you don't want to push a circuit over 80% is like the rule of thumb, but of course we all do more anyways. I know Ian is. And
I can't turn on all my games at once.
Exactly. So you're overloaded. And usually
don't turn them on all at once.
Yeah. I believe like the 15-amp breakers, I think you don't need to run new wire just to switch those over to 20. I think they're good enough for 20. And that's what I did in this house. I think they ran a couple new wires for some of the new circuits, but yeah, I calculated it was like 1.5 to 2 amps, or 1.5 for like most classic games. And so that puts you at like around 8 to 10 games, like you guys said, per circuit. Now pinball is different though, because like a pinball at max load, if you have like a shit ton of coils, some of those can push, you know, up to 3 to 4.
I just tell everybody, no multi-ball allowed. Don't.
Yeah. Shut so, off. But to answer your question, just hire a fucking electrician and they'll do all of it for you. Just figure in, you know, 1 to 2 amps per game. That's just like a safe rule of thumb, I guess. And they'll do all the math for you.
Yeah, I feel like my game room is pretty maxed out. I can turn all the games on, but I think if something else is running, like in the kitchen or something, like a dishwasher or something, it could trip the breaker. I've definitely tripped it before, but it doesn't happen all the time. But I also don't turn all my games on all the time, all that often. So, but at some point, I'd like to call in the electrician and see if I could get maybe all that room on a separate circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you can have multiple 20-amp electrical outlets on one electrical or one 20-amp circuit, right? So you can have like 3 outlets going.
You can have
to
a
one.
Million. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah. You wouldn't want that, but you could have like two electrical plugs, say, across the room or whatever, that are both going to one 20-amp circuit, and then because then you get into like a big power strip per. The last thing that he mentioned though about games playing with no glitches, that is quality of power on that one. The only way to ever do that is get power conditioners for your games, which is overkill. Yeah, exactly. But I've seen games glitch out that have had shitty power quality, and if you have a power conditioner on that circuit, it'll give you that clean power, and you can always rely on it. Plus, it gets you the game protection. But I would only do that if you have shitty, like, if you're gonna have an electrician go in there, they'll probably be up to snuff at that point. But if you're just throwing games in and you have a shitty old 1917 house and you're doing nothing, you may experience that, I guess, if you load up those circuits. It really depends. I've seen it happen in people's houses before.
I just figured the only time I've ever seen that happen was at PRGE. I had a game the first time I loaned games out that just kept resetting, and as soon as I brought it back to my place, it was totally fun.
Yep. Or I've seen it a lot on Vectors too, with shitty quality.
I think I have 5 20-amp circuits, so I have like 100 amps just in my game room, because I put ABCDE on all my outlets, so I know which circuit they're on, because it doesn't make sense. Oh, nice. Like as far as like looking to where they are. They're not all grouped together.
Yeah.
And I looked up and there's an E on this outlet, right, that our podcasting shit is plugged into. So that tells me A, B, C, D, E. That's 520, so 100. So, yeah, definitely, if that's, you know, original or pretty old service, you only have 100-amp service, that needs to be upgraded, like Brandon said. That's probably the best advice given today.
Oh, he said 20-plus games. So, yeah, you're looking at
two or three.
I do two or three 20-amp breakers, probably. Probably three, because then you can future-proof it for, like, jukeboxes or, like, other media shit, like TVs and, like Jordan said.
Two of the games are pins, right? And they're not, it's not 20 vids, it's like 18 vids and two pins.
Yeah. So how close is your neighbor's house?
Three.
Maybe run an extension cord or two over for an outside outlet there or something.
Twilight Zone's a beast. That has a lot of max.
Yeah.
So he says
it's going to pull some amps.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for you, Sam. We know who Sam is, and good new home. You'll have to invite us over sometime.
Yeah. Thanks for the email.
Sam's a local. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, and next up we have an email from Buy and Sell, a.k.a. Brian W., or strike that, reverse it, Brian W., a.k.a. Buy and Sell. Hello, Rejects. Thanks for letting me know I don't have to check my podcast app every day for your latest episode. I would like to bring up the subject of nostalgia. I think that all these games are still around because of it. For example, do you remember Walmart a few years ago was selling record players and miniature jukeboxes like those from the 50s and 60s? Well, guess what? Now we have Arcade 1-Up. It's the same thing. The reason we love these games is because of nostalgia. So, here's my question. Are there any games that you love but have no ties to them when you were younger? For example, my favorite games from when I was a kid were 720, Paperboy, Marble Madness, and Gauntlet. Of course, I love those games because they are the best ever made, but I now have two new favorites in my collection. They are games I don't have any memory of when I was a kid. They are Defender and Missile Command. Yes, I know you guys hate Missile Command. For me, these games offer a just one more game factor that I don't always get from the aforementioned games. I'm wondering if you have games that you absolutely love but do not remember when you were younger. Please keep up the great work that you all do with your podcasts. Your friend, Buy and Sell. P.S. Start collecting boomboxes from the 80s, too.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go. Solid tip at the end.
I can go do this. I'll try to be really fast about this. And I have had 80s boomboxes, and I have some still. But I have lots of games that I don't remember playing that I have discovered in my adult era of collecting games. And I would say, I'm not even going to go down the list, but I would learn about games at the shows and Grinkers. And if I find a game that I didn't have nostalgia for, but I like it, I will seek it out and buy it. So my answer is yes. And I do have Missile Command, too. And I think Ian at least has one as well.
I do. I don't like it, but I have it.
Reactor would be a huge one for me. I don't remember playing Reactor. And I love it, and I have one. There you go.
Yeah. I think nostalgia is definitely a factor, but I don't think it's the only reason. I think probably just inertia is the main reason this stuff is still around, because like the shit is a lot of work to get rid of. And if you're an operator and you're taking stuff off route, you know, you want to throw it in a warehouse instead of taking it to the dump because it's cheaper. So I think probably that's at least 50% of it. But I will not be surprised to find that everyone has some games in this, category of stuff you had no idea about or didn't play when you were young or didn't have nostalgia for, but learned about and then decided you needed one of. And I would say probably most of the games I have are those that I only learned about later or those that I knew about when I was younger, but didn't really enjoy until later. I would say Crazy Climber is probably the marquee title that I never even heard of, never played when I was younger, but as soon as I played it, I was like, oh, man, this game, it fucking rules. I gotta have it. There are many, many others, but that's the one that really sticks out to me.
Go for it.
Yeah, for me, I think one of the biggest ones is Gyrus, which I discovered at California Extreme. Even Major Havoc was not one I never played back in the day. And Black and White's like Skydiver and Frogs. Depth Charge, all those, you know, were way out of the arcade before I was in there in the early 80s. So I think it's amazing how often you can read Clav or listen to the podcast or something and hear a game mentioned that you had no idea ever existed. And they just keep coming up, and there's some real gems out there. So it's pretty easy to find a favorite. Another one that comes to mind is Anteater. I really like that game. Some of those ones that when I go down the MAME list and I'm like, oh, I got to play that real quick.
I thought you were going to say Birdie.
Birdie DIY.
Well, now that it's Birdie. Fixed.
Yeah, DIY. Now that it's fixed.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it now that it's fixed.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
I like how you... I never thought about that. Prior to arcade one-ups, they were selling like the shitty jukebox, mini jukeboxes and all that to cater for the crowd just before the, you know, I guess that
the
era. Yeah.
The
and now it's arcade one-up. And it's kind of funny now they're even, you know, doing retro consoles of shit that you can still buy plentiful.
Yeah.
Which is even more silly, I think. But,
well,
except for cart,
I think that one's a little bit. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is that it comes with the games that cost like
$70,
$60 or $70 a pop now.
Yeah.
Crosley, that's the brand I was thinking of. Like, they're all over that, like, turntable, retro style radio shit. I can't stand that stuff, honestly. Like, it fucking drives me up the wall.
It is, especially when you can get the real thing. You can go find, you know, a turntable and a receiver. But honestly, I have one of those Crosley things only because they run natively off 12 volts. So I thought it would be cool to, like, bring records and listen to them when I'm camping.
How many times have you done it?
None. Zero so far. One day.
They're like, fuck it. I'm just going to let up my fucking phone. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to have like in 30 years, are they going to have like fake iPhone 10s?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
Mini
much.
Ones that you can just put on your fingertip.
Yep. Yeah. I'm the same exact way. The first game that I ever played was Space Invaders, and that's when it was really old at that point already. It was like probably 8 or 9 years old at that point. And then I went straight into remembering games like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, actually the majority of the System 2, System 1 Atari games, like you mentioned, like Indiana Jones, shit like Steel Talons and all that, you know, like all the 3D era of Atari that was not very great, but still had like some pretty good appeal. And then, yeah, when I started collecting games, the first thing that I got was the Candy Cab, which was like 90s shit, right? Like I could play, like, I had like a Final Fight PCB. I had a bunch of MVS shit that I used to play, like, you know, World Heroes or like Baseball Stars, Puzzle Bobble and all that shit. And then when I started getting into this, our local group, I went over to Jordan's. I was like, oh shit, like all these games. And I just kind of started rediscovering the older stuff. And so pretty much the only game that I have in my collection now that I kind of have nostalgia for is Space Invaders, but all this other shit is because I've been collecting for so many years and discovering a lot of the old stuff. Like Omega Race is one of my favorite games of all time, and I've never fucking played that. I never even heard of that until I went to Jordan's house. It's just finding games that appeal to you, and yeah, Missile Command does suck.
Yeah, I feel like some of the games too, like back in the day, I didn't play Centipede all that much, nor did I play Robotron, but now both of those games I really love, especially you know, Robotron, because it just looked too hard to me back in the 80s, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to play that game. But now it's like, you know, my favorite game.
Yeah, Robotron, Omega Race, those are probably like in my top 5 of all time now, and I pretty much own all the top 5 games that I like, so those definitely have that one more time factor, and that's why they've stuck around. Otherwise, I sell them. So
yeah, I gotta say, I think that a lot of these classic games are just objectively great games. Like, I don't think you have to say it's nostalgia that they're still around. I just think they're really good games. You know, Centipede, that's a game that I really appreciate now, even though I didn't used to and never played it that much back in the day. But I think it's just a great game, you know, really well-balanced, well-tuned, fun game. And, you know, it's all about the gameplay. They don't have to have 3D graphics or online or PvP or whatever shit. They can just be good games for what they are.
Yeah, a lot of these games that I have now were in the dark corner, you know, when Mortal Kombat had like lines in the arcade, and I would only ever play like these old games when fucking Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were like so full that I just had to do something else to wait to play those. And I was like, yeah, these kind of, I remember playing like Kadash a lot of the times and some of the 90s stuff. And so, yeah, I never heard of most of these games when I started collecting, even like the most popular games of all time, like Tempest. I never heard of Tempest. It's just a lot of stuff that I discovered on my own or through all the other collector dudes.
Yeah. A lot of the games that I have that have a nostalgia factor are more from home port versions of the games than the coin-op. Like, I played Wizard of War a lot on the C64, but I never played it in the arcade. But, you know, I was like, damn, this game kicks ass. So I wanted the original. Several of my games are like that. Okay. Good email. Thank you so much for the email. And yeah, keep them coming. Keep listening. Thank you for listening. All right. So I think we're moving into the moat meme of the episode. Jordan, you won last time. So you want to tee it up for us?
I don't even remember how I won. We played Robbie Roto or something.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I picked a game this time. I thought about manufacturers maybe that had been underrepresented on this program. And I was trying to think back, and I remember playing where you just shovel the space dust or whatever. The fuck is that game called?
Space Panic.
Space Panic. Yeah. Where
you fucking shovel.
Shovel space dust out into a hole, which was a great game. We probably all coins up it, I bet. But anyhow, this is a Universal game. Universal, which I think is a great manufacturer, did a lot of good stuff, and one of the probably underrated, underappreciated manufacturers. And this game is called Ladybug. It's a maze game. Maze games have historically been pretty popular with us, but some not so popular, aka Robbie Roto. But I think it's a deep game with a lot. It's a easy to play to figure out what's going on, but then it's much harder to actually figure out how to score a lot of points on. It's got a lot of kind of I would say pinball-esque dynamics about the scoring situation in the game. So that's the game I picked. It's a game that I think is a good one to play. It's not very good to play on MAME, though, in my opinion, because I think you like with a lot of maze games like this, I think you need a good four-way joystick, and so maybe I didn't really think that one through very well. So, yeah, that was the game.
You didn't think it through.
I didn't think it through. Nice. Yeah,
I have to agree. I'm on with you on the four-way joystick thing. I was definitely struggling on the controls a bit.
Yeah, I think using a four-way joystick would have been better. I was playing it on my MAME cabinet last night, and even I think maybe it has something to do with the controls, but you know, it was easy to get yourself stuck when you're trying to go down or up, and you're not quite all the way into the doorway or whatever, and you just kind of, if you just hiccup just for like a minute, it's enough for one of the enemies to get you sometimes.
Yeah. So I will talk gameplay here. I agree with Jordan. This game is deep and kind of deceptively so. It is a maze game, and at first blush, it looks a lot like Pac-Man. The object is you control a ladybug, and you need to collect all of the flowers, which are like little white X's from the maze. The maze is not fixed like it is in Pac-Man. It consists of immovable segments and movable segments, the movable segments being green, and when you move through them, they rotate. So if it's you know, if it's vertical and you're moving to the left, then it'll rotate to horizontal, and then if you move up again, it'll rotate back to vertical. So you can kind of change the shape of the maze. And also, unlike Pac-Man, there is no offense in this game. There's no power pellet or any way of attacking the enemies directly. You can only avoid them by changing the shape of the maze or by luring them into a poison pill that is scattered, I think, two or three randomly throughout the maze. But the poison pills also kill you if you walk over them. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in that regard. So that's the basics. When you first start, there's a timer, and I think the way the timer is done is pretty interesting. There's a series of rectangles around the border of the screen, and they turn from white to green. So it's sort of like a wraparound progress bar, and once it hits the end, then one of the enemies comes out, and then the timer starts over, and a new enemy comes out every time that it completes until there are a maximum of 4 enemies in the maze. When one of the enemies runs over the poison, then it goes back to the center of the maze. Again, sort of Pac-Man-esque, you know, like the ghost house. They spawn from the center when they die. So that's the core of it. The deep stuff is that there's a lot extra going on top of that. So there are 3 different sections at the top of the screen: special, extra, and a bonus multiplier. And they are all color-coded. And there are different prizes randomly scattered throughout the maze. There are hearts, and there are letters. The letters in the maze make up the letters of special and extra at the top of the maze, but everything in the maze cycles through different colors, and if you run over it when it's the same color as the part at the top, then it matches and it goes up there. So you can, there's an A in special and an A in extra, so you walk over it when it's red and it goes up to special, and you walk over it when it's yellow and it goes up to extra, and you have to make sure your timing is right for that. There are also hearts scattered through the maze, and when they turn blue, they advance a multiplier that multiplies your score for the entire level. But not like at the end of the level, but during it, so you can kind of change your multiplier on the board. Okay, so that's kind of a lot. When you complete special, it gives you a credit, like pinball special style, and when you complete extra, you get an extra life, and there's no other mechanism for getting an extra life other than collecting those letters. I think that's it. What am I missing?
Extra. Did you get extra?
You can also do the fruits or vegetables in the middle of the...
Right. If you lure all the monsters
out. Yeah. Right. The enemies are all different kind of bugs, and when all 4 of them come out, then there's a fruit prize in the center, which is like 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 points. And if you collect that, then you get that score. And hopefully, if you have the multiplier, then you get a 2x, 3x, or 5x multiplied score. So I appreciate how they balanced this out, because it is really, really tricky. The only way you can collect it is if you wait for all 4 enemies to come out in the maze. So you really have to balance like how much risk you're willing to take for that potentially large reward. Because once all 4 enemies are in the maze, it gets really, really hard. They move, even on the first board, they move pretty damn fast. And from the second board on, they're really booking it. They're moving faster than you are. So, if one's right on your tail, it's really hard to get away from them.
And when you get that fruit prize, it also pauses the enemies for roughly 5 seconds-ish. It's not very long for you to do much, but that's the only kind of offensive thing that you could do to make them not chase you.
Yeah, and they can still kill you, so yeah. It's not that offensive. They just stop.
Yeah, they still do kill you. And the nice thing about this, I appreciate that everything is has such an explicit timer. Like when you collect the fruit, the timer around the side starts counting down. So, it's really obvious when it's going to run out. So that's the game.
Yeah, and the timer, especially on the second board and on, is going pretty quickly, and it's audible, so it really gives you like a sense of urgency to complete the level, because everything feels like it's moving a lot faster. I mean, it is moving faster, but even the sound of it is kind of putting you on edge a little bit that you need to get moving and start.
Does it change sound as it's like running out? Because I swear I never watch it, but somehow I kind of know when it's going to change.
It must increase speed up. I thought it increased the... The beep, 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 beeps got a little bit more intense towards the end, I believe, because then I noticed when that was happening, one would come out. So
there's also a noise right before it comes out, though, a specific noise.
Okay.
I didn't notice whether there was that or not, but the timer counts quicker from the second board on. Mm. I don't think anyone got through more than 2.5 boards on this game when we were playing, so I'm not sure what it's like, deep in the game.
I think we all got to level 3, because I'm looking, level 3 is the carrot.
I didn't get to level 3.
I didn't get to level 3.
Yeah. Oh,
some of us did.
Yeah, eggplant is as much as I saw. I guess the color changing thing. So the blue is kind of the normal state of the letters, where you only get 100 points times whatever multiplier you have. And then it changes red for a very short period of time, where
one second, where
you could have 800 points. And if you have like the 5x multiplier, that's 4,000 points right there. And then, but it's only like for 1 second, and then it goes to blue for maybe 5 seconds. And that's like a 300 point. So 1500 point. That's pretty good. And then back to not blue, sorry. Yellow. Yeah, the extra. And that's also the extra. So generally, you're kind of going for the extra. Special is really fucking hard to get. I don't know if anybody's ever got it in the whole wide world. But
yeah, got to be dedicated to that one.
So I was. It really adds a cool aspect. And the fact that you can change the maze too is really a neat thing to, I think if you could master that, you could have a whole lot of fun with this game. Sorry, Brandon, I cut you off.
That's right. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Should we talk about the art package on this?
Let's talk about the art package. This is one that Bobby Tribble mentioned.
Yeah, Universal
Cabinet. First guy in the voicemail today, tonight. Universal Cabinets are notorious for these Arby's / Moto Pizza side art, and then the front bezel and marquee has like more of the actual artwork. It's almost like a title game, right? Where it has like the standard Universal front kick inside, and then it has game specific artwork, and it almost has that Exidy vibe with like the large back panels. Isn't Death Race like that? Yeah. And some of the other ones,
all their drivers are like that. Yeah.
And I personally think that the art sucks on this game, but I think there's some other Universal games that are actually really cool. But this, if you look at it from far away, it looks pretty, like in this flyer here, it looks pretty cool, but up close, it's not that great.
It's got like a hot chick, you know, floating around with a pool ball in her hand, and she's got wings. It's awesome.
It's very detailed and colorful.
I don't think it's that detailed. I think it's
too detailed. It's way too detailed. Like, you lose the detail when it's, actually printed.
It looks like one of those simpler,
bigger lines. Yeah.
It looks like a fucking, like that hair salon artwork you always see. it looks bad. Like, I don't,
it's kind of Nagel-esque, really. If you look at like the girls' faces and stuff, but that, like, yeah, wow.
I think it doesn't really match with like the Universal like side art. The red, orange, and yellow is like does not even go any way at all with.
That's true.
That the totally art package. Clashes. And that's how all of them are, right? And I don't like them. I think they're ugly cabinets. And this game is not that great, but at least it has artwork, though. That's kind of cool. I like that it does have artwork on the front. It just doesn't really have anything to do with the game, even though it's a ladybug.
Why does she have a green ball in her hand? I don't get that.
Yeah, and I don't. It just doesn't match the game. I don't think it.
Yeah, they do, and like trip. There's some. Is that an enemy like in a bubble? Why is it in a bubble? I don't understand. It's a fly. Yeah, it's
like, just all dancing.
Yeah,
around.
I agree with Brandon. It does not match the game at all, and it's not even like the artwork never is like the game, but it usually has the same themes as the game, and this one seems like kind of a miss in that regard.
I also wish the ladybug had two eyes, not just one. It looks like somebody gouged her eye out.
Like she's winking?
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a very good look.
I guess the enemy's in the bubble and she's like, has her hand out, like, talk to the hand, bitch, you can't kill me. It doesn't really make sense.
She's winking.
Yeah. I agree with you about the, maybe she's holding the fruit. Maybe it's a lime. Brandon, I agree with you about like the side art and the kick plate art not matching the colors. And that's a way Taito's stuff was better, right? Because they would, they'd change up the colors for each game, and that gives you an opportunity to kind of match it up so it fits the theme. But yeah, it's completely different. It's all like white and orange, and the rest of the art is like green and purple and yellow. Yeah. And it really clashes. It doesn't look like it fits together at all.
It wouldn't matter as much if they only did that on the side. Right, because usually the sides are tucked in, but the fact the front. If you just take away the sides from that flyer and just look at the front, it's just like, it seems like two different games. Like, it's just mismatched. I don't know. I think if they would have made those like purple and pink or something green stripes,
yeah,
you know, and like that would have been a much more cohesive art package. I don't know.
Were those? Yeah, well, you can see on the cocktail, which has like a total garbage art package, but you, on the bottom of it, it has Universal and it has you know, green lines on the background. And at least, I don't know if that's just how those were or if it's different for this game, but should have taken that approach.
Do we know if Universal cabinets were made in Japan and shipped over here flat and assembled? You know, like, just here's a ton of cabinets. I've never owned
they
one.
Even a Universal? Were they a Japanese company?
Yes, I think Universal's a Japanese company. Yeah, yeah. It's, yes. They were an old game company before video games, similar to Nintendo. Yeah,
no
and,
idea.
Yeah, and they, did they turn into... they turned into something else. I'll look it up.
Who, Universal?
Mm-hmm.
It's escaping me, but I think you're right. Anyway, yeah. Is that back panel glass, or is that just like a sticker?
I think it's plexi.
It's plexi.
Yeah. Is it backlit, or?
No. The one behind the bezel?
I don't think
Yeah.
I thought that they were.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the games, they are. I don't know for sure. Like Mr. Do, that's backlit.
Yeah.
It's like an extra marquee, basically. They look really sick when they're, you know, in an arcade.
Yeah, it is kind of like that whole art on the inside kind of goes in a different direction than the rest of the game. Like the ladybug marquee is definitely like a different style. And in like the Mr. Do cabinet, that artwork that's behind the bezel is just completely doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Do. I mean, it looks really good. It's really colorful, but I don't know that it has anything to do with Mr. Do. It's like a big rainbow circle thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That
looks like it belongs with like Star Castle or something.
Oh, it is backlit. Yeah, this lower picture I see here.
Yeah,
I think that was looks like fetish. One of Fetish Boys restores on Clav.
Yep, that's right.
It looks like it's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's backlit. Yeah.
The cabinet is big. It looks huge.
Super Don Quixote is a Universal game. Laser game.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Universal System 1 is what they called that. they were going to make more.
All right. Let's talk gameplay and strategy. Like, what did you guys do to or not do?
Well, I tried to get the 5X multiplier and then just get, Yeah, 800 times 5X, and then try to hang out and get the fruit at the end as well.
Yeah, then getting all the blue hearts, and also I would try to, if I had time at the beginning, to clear out the area around where the enemies come out, so you don't have to worry about that later on in the level.
Good point.
And then try to lure the, and even though I guess you don't get any points for luring the enemies into the skulls, but...
No, you don't? Oh.
I thought that was good, except that then I realized it just takes longer to get to the fruit.
Yeah,
if you do that,
puts them back in the center.
Yeah, but then the skull.
But it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
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 It's a vegetable.
And I try to be like sneaky about waiting for the last guy to get so I can get the fruit, and so I'll kind of make myself at the end of a maze. Using the doors, but I was I was not able to do it with my control situation. But when I play with a joystick, I sometimes will do that, and I'll make myself like a little hidey area where I know it's going to take a long time for the dude to find me, and then that last enemy will come out, and then I'll just open up one of my doors and then go in and get the fruit for the thousands of points, and that works pretty well. But not in my game tonight, it didn't, but it can.
Yeah, going for the extra is also a good thing to try to do, even though it's difficult to, because you're going to have to do that through multiple screens, most likely, because they're not going to give you all the extra letters on one screen.
I think there's a formula. I think they give you two of extra and two of special on every screen.
Yeah. It shows you before the part, in quote, they call it the part.
Yeah, which
the parts
which
start. Yeah, like one of them was like TIA and one of them was, I don't know, TAC or something. I don't know. This is the first time I've ever played this game. And when I played tonight, that's the first game I've ever played.
Nice.
And Ian was playing earlier before you guys joined, and I was like, what does this do? What does this do? And but as I was watching you guys play, it seemed like no one even got close to special. No one even got close to extra. Everyone essentially got the multipliers. So when I played, I was like, not worrying about spelling anything, but worrying about getting the blue hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't actually know until I read the flyer that after you get all those multipliers, then, you know, any remaining heart or
letter
is that multiplied, right? Mm-hmm. Times 100. And then on top of that, the color is worth more. And I didn't know the color portion of it after the fact.
500 or 800.
Yeah, if I would have known that.
Sometimes you can hang out and try to wait for it to turn red and grab it, because that's 4,000 points. And most of the time you still won't get it, but at least you'll get it at blue, you know.
Or yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah, so I knew the colors applied to the different categories, but not the colors affected the score of those items as well. And if I would have known that, I think I probably would have got a higher score. I was only focused on the multipliers, and then and also just going as fast as possible while I was waiting for those colors to change, just clearing the board. And the AI is fucking dumb in this game. Like, I was talking to Jordan. Like, in Pac-Man, you can kind of get them to group, right? But you can't really manipulate them in Pac-Man. You can kind of move around, and they're smart enough to, like, always seek you out. And you can kind of, you know, get the groups going. But in this game, like, if you're on the other side of the board, they just fuck off and do whatever they want. And even if you're really close, they won't even go after you half the time. So I almost find that AI more difficult sometimes, because you'd think they would always chase after you, but it was harder to manage them a little bit. And then the fact that those skulls were in place, right, the poison or whatever, the fact that you couldn't go through those, that was like an extra obstacle that I thought was challenging, because the controls on MAME suck. So I definitely see the cabinet advantage in this game. Actually, obviously all the games that we play, but
I did much better playing it on a cabinet, even though it was an 8-way joystick. It was much easier to, because I know I got at least one extra life on one game. I didn't get that, you know, didn't get it that many times, but I at least got it once. But it is a lot easier to, definitely easier than using the keyboard, which is what I used on MAME tonight.
Yeah, if you're not working, the flyer calls them turnstiles. If you're not working the turnstiles. If you're not working those turnstiles, like that one time that I died, if there's a long straight, like on the far right where it just goes straight down with no obstacles, they'll catch you fast. Like, you won't outrun them at all in this game.
Yeah.
And so you really have to just constantly keep going through the turnstiles, and not necessarily constantly because they're dumb, but don't get stuck on a straightaway, basically. Otherwise, you're hosed. I think I lost 2 lives doing that.
The predatory insects are called Lucanus, Longicorn, Anti-Lion, and Rear Horse.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, I'm sure something's getting lost in the translation.
But look at the fucking variety, though. Like, Pac-Man has, what, a couple of fruits and a pretzel?
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, there's 18 fucking different vegetables. Yeah. That's pretty fucking boss.
Universal is still around. Look at that skyscraper with the Universal on top of it there. Yeah. So they were in the late 60s. They did pachinko and slot machines, and then started doing video games. Eventually, they got bought out. Space Panic was like their big breakout, like their own game that they did, not just a copy of Pong or Space Invaders or whatever. And then Ladybug was the next good one, and then it was Mr. Do after that. And those were like the big successes. And they've had some designers who went on to do games at like TechCon, and did like Guzzler, Bomb Jack, things like that. Good stuff. And then they became a subsidiary of Aruz Corporation.
Oh, okay.
Aruz also owned SNK, Neo Geo. Yep. And then eventually they changed their name back to Universal. So they're still Universal. And yeah, Japanese company. So I'm wondering if the I've never owned a Universal cabinet. They I think they're thin plywood. I believe Jeff had one that was brand new.
Plywood.
And yeah, and I kind of almost think it wasn't put together yet. Like it was, he assembled it. So maybe they shipped them in pallets over here to be assembled. And so you just have one cabinet and then it's, you know, those orange stripes. And then the game kit would have the bezels and the marquees and things.
So let's talk about graphics and sound.
I will start. Sound on this game sucks shit. I fucking hate it. Repetitive, annoying bullshit. I really do not like the sound on this game at all. Graphics are fun.
Damn.
Sound is not fun. That's all.
Yeah, I don't mind the sound. The thumping or the thumping of the timer, I don't know what you want to call it, but that definitely can get annoying on the later levels where it's going so fast that it's kind of overpowering everything. But everything else stops. Is like fine. Yeah.
Sounds not great. Graphics are fine. It's a 1981 game.
Wow, that's deep.
Nice colors.
That's deep.
Moves good. It's not choppy.
That's better.
I can tell an enemy from an enemy. I'm not confused as to what is out there on the screen. But yeah, the sound is fine. It didn't annoy me. It's not great. I don't, you know, but it's not like a shit tune.
Shit. I was going to say that, speaking of shit tune, no. It's weird because I'm usually really aware of like shitty sound, but maybe it was so bad that I just kind of tuned it out. It didn't really bother me that much, but I also didn't really notice it that much either. So I think the sound design in that regard means it's very poor because it's not notable and it's actually not even good enough to be annoying, which means it's just bad. I mean, and also graphics. Actually, what's on screen is fine. Like Jordan said, it's an 81 game, but there's a lot of shit going on the screen. I mean, you have the special, extra, the multipliers. Those are three different colors. Then you have the timer going around. And then you have, like, you know, all the shit at the bottom, which is essentially useless information. There's not really much useful at the bottom. And then, like, the... I think they did a good job with like the turnstiles and all that. Surprisingly, that's pretty fluid. I don't know what it is you're actually getting. When you collect like the little X's? I don't know what those are supposed to be, but
flowers.
Okay, yeah. There's just so much. It's a simple kind of game, I guess. There's like a lot of depth, but just with all those colors, there's a shit ton of colors on the screen. It's actually kind of overwhelming to me. It's not like Robotron overwhelming where you can kind of find your way in the chaos, but your eye is darting around a lot, especially with the floating with the cycling colors of all the icons, and that definitely makes it challenging in itself just based on how they designed the graphics. So
there is a lot going on. I want to talk a little bit about the graphics. I'm going to share the title screen because I think this is actually super cool. So I really dig the logo, like the kind of italic logo they have on there. I think that's cool. I think it's really neat. Well, they could have done it better, but they have this credit 2 in the lower right-hand corner, which is, you know, pretty standard and boring. But they also have these little, like, graphical coins on the bottom, too. I think that's really neat that they are, like, graphically representing the money you put into the game. And then as you play, you know, they are consumed. I think that's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that they have both that and credit rather than one or the other, or that they didn't like put the coins directly over the credit text so it's a little more obvious that they're connected.
I almost think maybe they did the coins, you know, somebody was like really proud of it and then some asshole's like, oh no, you gotta tell them how many credits. So then they, ah, fuck you, okay, we'll put credit 2 down here, but I'm keeping my coins.
It's like putting your coins up on the marquee or the control panel for the I got next.
Yeah. Except you don't know whose coins are whose. Those are my coins. No, that was my coin.
I think it's funny on this logo screen, right by the logo, they reused the little R from inside of the maze from Extra to be the registered trademark bit of the logo. That's kind of funny. I like that. And it's not graphics, but I also want to say I think it's pretty cool that you can put in more than three initials. You can put in a whole name and some symbols in the high score table. That's pretty cool, and not something commonly seen in 81.
Yeah.
The high score table is kind of cool. The first time you do it, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool, because you're like navigating around a maze of letters and to put in your name. But if you're doing it more than once, it quickly becomes tedious and you realize it's not that great of a control or a way to enter your name on that screen. But it is kind of novel the first couple times you do it.
So I want to be clear. I think these are two separate things. I think the ability to put in more than three letters for your high score is awesome. Thumbs up. The mechanism for entering them, thumbs down. Fucking
unless
annoying.
You just want to put in a lot of hearts.
Putting in hearts is pretty easy.
They should have made it even worse and made you go through turnstile to get through each letter. And then if you get killed by a bug, then you don't get to finish entering your initials.
And it has to be like there's like three letters and you have to wait till they turn a certain color. It's like, oh shit, trying to get A.
You can only enter them.
Good thing my name is special.
Yeah. I was looking at the more like the composition of stuff of like the maze, and look at this ColecoVision one. This one's actually a better design, I think, although it shrinks the game space a little bit. The information is removed from the top.
I see what you're talking about, though.
It's like Rally X Plus style.
God!
They put the information to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody right now that's listening, look up the ColecoVision.
Look to your left. Yeah, there you go. So, you know, the arcade has it on the special extra and multiplier on the top, and then the lives and all that on the bottom. This uses the border of the maze as the timer, and that's how the arcade is too, but it actually separates it better. I just think they could have done this is less overwhelming to me, I think, although this stuff's huge over here.
Yeah, I kind of like the arcade layout better.
Arcade's better.
Yeah,
I do like how the timer, the border around the maze is also the timer. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's kind of nice that there's not an overall timer on this where you don't have to, or even a bonus where you have to, you know, complete it in a certain amount of time in order to get the bonus, or complete it in a certain amount of time before you die. You can pretty much just hang out. And
you pretty much get more points the longer you take, because then you're going to get to the fruit in the middle. It's kind of opposite timer.
It's a goddamn vegetable. Stop calling it a fucking fruit.
How do you know? There's 18 of them.
Vegetable.
No, it's like a fucking banana.
It says right fucking there.
What's
on the flyer.
That's not a banana. It's a bean.
It is. Vegetables are associated vegetable. With the first 18 levels.
No shit.
Vegetable. Fucking okay. Vegetable.
Cucumber, eggplant, carrot, radish, parsley.
Okay. Going back to the gameplay, I forgot something. I was like, how the fuck do you collect this vegetable? And the one time that I got it, Jordan's like, when I was playing, go get the vegetable. I go down there, and then a guy fucking pops up right on my exit.
Because you had a guy right on your ass, and then he's frozen to where you can't get out of the fucking exit.
I bet the AI is dumb enough to where I should have just stayed there, and then maybe he would have gone past me.
He probably would have gone the wrong way.
Probably.
But I decided to go up because I thought maybe, hey, maybe you're invincible. I don't know. But
yeah.
I died.
Maybe not.
Hey, at least at least you're not just a red blob. There's spots on your back. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Graphics are all right.
I do like that universal font they have on this game and like Mr. Do and stuff like that. It's kind of it's like mixed between a serif and a sans serif kind of font.
Are you talking about this logo or actually the in-game?
The in-game text.
Okay.
They kind of try to stylize it a little bit to make it look a little unique.
It's a little stretchy. Yeah, you can tell that font when you see it. It's definitely not an Atari font. You know, it's like Mr. Do.
Mr. Do font. It's the extra font.
I was going to say I actually like Universal's logo in itself because it's kind of reminds me of like a Western style font. And it almost doesn't go with like video games, but at the same time, it kind of works and it's kind of funny.
It's the logo for a fucking circus.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Fucking circus.
Fucking circus.
Yep.
We're going to move on to scores. All
right.
Yeah. Scores indeed. Okay, so I blew my wad earlier today, video game-wise, pervs. And so I was not surprised that I am in last place on this game with 15,720 points. Jordan is in third place with 17,180 points. Brandon in number two with 18,300, and Brian on top with 18,590. Pretty narrow victory, but yeah. I think that we were all kind of in the same realm between 10 and 20,000.
I thought Brandon was going to get that when I was watching his score. I was like, oh shit.
I ain't getting close.
Yeah.
I've noticed the last couple of times that I haven't been keeping track of the scores because we shift from player to player so fast. And I think if I would have been aware of your score, I might have done better.
We're not about being aware.
Yeah, but I was like, I didn't know that I was that close to you. And I think that would have been some more motivation.
Pick up a few more flowers.
Get that multiplier right.
I feel like I did pretty good because it's my first time ever playing this game. And I know, actually with a lot of the games that we play, even if one of us is like really good at it, you know, we could have a shitty day playing, obviously. But yeah.
Anything can happen.
That's right. It was a true cold start challenge for me anyways. The beauty of it all. What's that?
It's the beauty of it all.
Yeah. All right. Let's do ratings.
Ratings.
I
picked this game. You should go first.
Oh, I picked this game because I like it, so coins up.
Why do you like it, though?
Because it's cool, man.
No, I like maze games. I like the deep scoring. I like a game where it takes some thought into, you know, like knowing. It's like you know like a secret trick or something. It's not just an obvious, you know, space shooter, shoot all the things. And so I guess I like that game where I feel like I have an advantage or something because I know how the scoring works. Like pinball, you know, as far as like people who just bash it around as to where if you like pay attention to the game and know what scores higher. So I like it. I think it's a great game, and especially for 81. I think it's really good. I think Universal games are overlooked and underrated, and I wanted to shed some light on this little gem.
This little bug.
Fair enough.
And I like maze games. Yeah, I'll go next. I also give it a coins up. I wasn't quite sure which way I would go because this isn't a game that I've played all that often. I think it maybe had limited appeal to me previously, and having spent some time with it, I think I really like it. It's definitely one of those where you feel like you could do better the next time you play it, or you hopefully think you can do better the next time you play it. And like Jordan was saying, the little things about getting the multipliers and the extra when they turn the appropriate colors is always very satisfying, especially when you do collect the extra life. And it's fun being able to go through the maze and have an enemy right in your tail and like hit one of those turnstiles just right, and they can't get you, and it's like almost impossible for them to get you right at that time, and you can kind of close them out or lead them toward a skull. But yeah, I like it. Coins up.
Yeah, I like that neener factor of the shutting the turnstile in their face, and you could just sit there, and they're just like, oh, I don't know what to do.
That's what they do. They just pace back and forth, too, usually.
Yeah, they're like, God damn it.
Maybe he'll open it again the other way.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I'll go. This is a really hard one for me because I think this is one of the games, because we're trying to pick games that we probably will never play right when we get back to normal, which is pretty soon here.
I think we don't own. I mean, there's still a lot of games we own we haven't played.
But I meant we may find this one in the wild at some point because, you know, we're not limiting games we go to play to our collections. I think eventually we'll have to go visit collectors' houses or something like that.
I think they have this one at Ground Control.
Yeah. Is there a real PCB?
I believe so. I believe it's in a real cabinet.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Doesn't Geach have one of these in the cabinet? There's a couple of them out there. Jeremy has one. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. It's in a funny cabinet.
Yeah,
it's in a weird cabinet. There's a few out there. But it didn't survive the test of time as much as some of the other titles.
Yeah. I think this one deserves a fair shake in a cabinet to play on to get like a real rating for me, because I do feel like the controls with with MAME kind of, I don't know, prevented a lot of moves, I guess. Although I only played it once. Usually I've practiced a couple times so I can get an idea of the game. And so just going off of one actual play is kind of hard. But I think I'll actually give it a coins up. But I'm kind of on the fence until I play it more. It's like a tentative coins up. Well, it's probably just a coins up. But I do enjoy the depth. If it was just if this game didn't have like those three mechanics with like the special, that one will cancel out because I probably will never get that. But it doesn't really matter in a home environment. The extra and the it's not points based. You know, you have to kind of work for your extra guy a different way. That's kind of cool. I like the turnstile mechanic. You're not just going down a straight maze, and it's just a different enemy, like another Pac-Man clone. And so I appreciate the depth with that. And the fact that there's like 18 different vegetables makes me think that the game doesn't get progressively that harder. It's just, otherwise, you know, it'd probably just only have like two or three enemies. So I'm guessing, knowing what I know now with like how to play it, I'm thinking you, like Brian said, you could probably work towards a better score each game. And to me, that's kind of like the deciding factor. The graphics and sound are kind of shitty, but they don't hurt it enough. And the controls are hard to kind of rate because it seems like they're going pretty good through the turnstiles. And occasionally you have a hiccup, but I think that was more the controller, not, you know, game related, game code related.
I'd say on a cabinet with a four-way, it feels just as good as a Pac-Man. It's nice.
Yeah. And I think with the depth kind of saves this game. If it didn't have that, I would probably coins down it, because that gives you enough to want to explore it a little bit more and find out a little bit better strategies, especially with that last enemy. I never got to do that, work on bringing out all four enemies and working on collecting more of the vegetables throughout the levels. So I think just the fact that I couldn't even get, I only got one of those out of all the three levels. I think there's more to explore with it. So yeah, coins up.
Okay. So I agree with everything everyone has said thus far. This is definitely kind of a hard one for me, but maybe less hard than some of the others we've done lately. I appreciate that it is inspired by and to some extent subverts the traditional maze game mechanics. And it kind of reminds me of Hard Hat in that way, right? Like it looks like a pretty traditional maze game, but then it doesn't work the way you're expecting. And that kind of changing up and, you know, breaking out of your expectations, I think is a piece of good game design, right? It tells you that they are familiar with the same sorts of games and are thinking about how people play them at a level probably deeper than your average player is going to be thinking about it. So I think that's really good, and I think that's just a sign of good game design. And definitely, like Jordan was saying, easy to learn, difficult to master. You know, that was the Atari creed in the 70s for what they wanted to make their games. Because they want to make them approachable, but they don't want them to be so shallow that you're not compelled to, you know, you don't want to play one game and walk away and be like, okay, well, I've done that. And I agree that it hits that too. So I don't think it's perfect. I don't think it quite hits all of the things that it could. And like the sound in particular, I think, is bad. And there are some frustrating parts. Like, I think the difficulty curve is maybe a little bit out of whack. It's pretty hard right off the bat, and then it gets immediately harder. So maybe it does plateau, but I couldn't get far enough to find out. So it is flawed in that regard. But I think I am coins up on this game. I did enjoy playing it. I think that it is a good representative game of its era. You know, like, it feels like an 81 game. Looks like an 81 game, plays like an 81 game, and I like 81 games, so I'm pretty down with that. And I do think that it has some, I definitely would play it on a real cabinet. I think that it's got some good stuff in the controls. Like, I was just noticing when I really nailed cornering, it was really smooth. It felt really good when I could nail it. I just couldn't do it consistently. And I'm fairly certain that that was a control or MAME issue, and I bet that it would feel a lot better on a cabinet. But it has that kind of Pac-Man, you know, you accelerate around the corner, and that's kind of, I think, a key mechanic for escaping the enemies when they're on your tail. And I didn't get much chance to deploy that, but I did enjoy it. I would play it again. I think that it's not a game I would own, but I would definitely play it if I encountered it. So, coins up.
Yeah, it's funny you said the hard hat thing. I thought the same exact thing when I saw the turnstiles. It reminded me of the scaffold, and I was like, hey, that's like hard hat. And yeah, you said the same thing I did with the controls. It seems like you're blazing through those turnstiles. It's very smooth. You're going down the long straights. It's smooth. And
yeah,
any blips, I think it is a result of the controls. I bet you it is smooth in the cabinet. It sucks that I have to assume that, but I think it is. And I would definitely want to play it on actual hardware for sure. Oh, so Brian put in a fun fucking fact for me. I had the art sucks, but then he put, so the melody that plays when a new ladybug enters the maze is a snippet of a song called Ladybug Samba.
Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fun. So good choice, Jordan.
Thank you. I tried this time to get a good game.
I get to pick it next time.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to be recording together next time.
Maybe. Yeah, let's go. Let's just go through some updates.
Who wants to kick it off?
I'll kick it off. I have no updates.
Game room updates.
Update, no update.
All right.
Nothing.
I'll have an update.
Did you dust anything?
Will off? You?
Yeah.
Next time there'll be an update.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't move a game. Didn't
play a game.
Polish a game. Play a game. Did you play a game?
No, I haven't turned my games on for, I think it's been like over a month now.
Oh.
Yeah. It's buried in shit. All the games are buried in shit right now. Buried in mug life.
All right.
All right. I have updates. So I will start with the easy one. I forget when exactly I set this goal because I've definitely not been quick about turning around my high score goals for myself. But my last goal was 40,000 on Asteroids Deluxe, and I hit that today. Just before we recorded, I got 42,430 points on Asteroids Deluxe. So, goal met.
Woohoo.
I don't know what my next goal is going to be, but that one took a while. It was good, though. It felt real good. I had a game with like 38K. It was just feeling good, kept it rolling, and really nailed it on the last one. So
that's a good score. I didn't
have that done. I don't have a new goal, I think, next episode, but I'm going to take a break this month. And then the bigger update is that I got a game and I let go of a game and I moved some games. So our friend Toby is moving out of the country and decided to sell off his collection. So I went down there and I helped Jordan move a game, which he'll talk about in his update. And I also pulled a Road Blasters out of his basement. But it's not for me. I worked out a deal with a guy in Seattle who I've dealt with before. Actually, the same guy I got Naughty Boy from. If you listened to last episode, that was my pickup. But when I was picking that up, you know, we were just shooting the shit as one does. And I happened to mention that, you know, I had a kangaroo game because he had a kangaroo board that he liked to play. He really likes that game. And I was like, I have a really great example of that game. And I was kind of thinking of letting it go. And he was like, oh, well, send me some pictures when you get back. So I did that and we worked out a deal. And I ended up hauling up Kangaroo and that Road Blasters from Toby. And I ended up this wasn't the complete deal, but I ended up doing that and taking down a Space Duel cocktail multi. So this is a Space Duel, which has two 8-way joysticks put into the control panel on one side, and it plays Space Duel and Gravatar and Black Widow.
Fake bullshit.
That's cool. That's all real.
They're PCBs. All real PCBs. Yeah.
Fake bullshit.
It is fake bullshit to a degree, but it's real hardware. So I will allow it. So, which, ironically, that was also in a basement. So, hauled one came up out of the basement and then hauled another one up. And that Road Blasters, like, the timing of everything was such that I just put the Road Blasters in my car and left it there all week. So, it's like tooling around town with a giant ass Road Blasters in the back of my car until I took it all the way up to Seattle.
No one's going to steal it. So
that's awesome. Because that thing goes like you had to like put the seat, passenger seat forward and everything. So just like a.
Yeah.
Almost like driving a hearse or something with a casket in there. But it's not right next to you.
Is the space dual cocktail the same exact as the Tempest cocktail? Or is it different?
I'm not sure. It's
I know they look kind of the same. With
They got the same kind of legs. They can go high and low. I know that. But, you know, obviously one's horizontal, one's vertical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the differences. I have moved a Tempest cocktail, probably the one that's in, it's probably in your warehouse, Ian, I'm thinking. Is there a Tempest cocktail there? Yeah.
You have a Tempest cocktail in my warehouse. I'm going to say similar, but not the same.
Yeah, I think they're different.
You know, it's wider than the, it is definitely, wider and narrower.
I haven't seen a lot of Space Duel cocktails, and my thing was, I don't think there's a cocktail mode on the game, right? The one guy just kind of plays looking at the score upside down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's fine, because it's all relative with your controls, right? I mean...
Yeah, but if he wants to read his score, it's upside down.
No one cares about the score.
It's kind of like playing Sinistar on your multi-Williams, Jordan.
Yeah, sideways. It's better than that.
Yeah, pretty stoked about that. Really definitely, cool. I'm not a huge fan of cocktails, but it's got wood grain, so it's got that going for it. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that the Atari cocktails of that era can be raised up to bar height, so you can play them standing instead of needing chairs. Mm-hmm. So I've just had it sitting around in my living room and been playing it, you know, every night, every other night, something like that, and enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's a score. That's it takes up less room than my Space Duel, Black Widow, and the other one, Gravatar multi-game, that's for sure.
Yeah. Not the same, but I'm not mad about getting those three vectors in one cabinet. That's pretty decent.
That's really decent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess my update is I got a game, too. As Ian was saying, our friend's moving out of the country. And what I picked up from him is another black and white game. That seems to be my thing lately, is to pick up games that are almost as old as I am, I suppose. And he has a Superbug, which is a mid-70s black and white Atari driving game. It's in really nice condition. It's actually a cabinet that he has had in his family since the 80s. And I was surprised to hear him letting go of it, but I suppose if he's letting go of them all, he's letting go of them all. And so I tried not to buy it for a long time. Nobody else did. And
It's a good deal.
It was a really good deal. I offered him a price. He said, oh, someone else is interested. And so I'm thinking, great, good. That other person will get it. And then he came back to me and said, well, nobody's really doing anything about it. So I guess if you want it, it's yours. So I'm like, oh, shit, I got to move a game out of that basement. And, I'm glad I have it now, but it's a heavy fucker. And that basement is not easy to get games out of at all. Luckily, there was three of us there, but we're all not really into, trying to like test our strength. And the last step is the trickiest one. You have to make the game straight up and down, and there's hardly any room to do it. And so it's like the guy on the top basically has to somehow take the game from a laying down position to an upright position while pinning themselves against a wall.
Jesus, that sounds...
And there's not much that, and the guys on the bottom can push real hard, but it generally just kind of pins you or makes it harder to lift the game straight up and down. It's really a bad situation there. And I was glad that there was three of us and that I wasn't going to do the top on more than one game.
Yeah, that was rough. I mean,
I didn't know if we were going to get it. When I was up there on the top trying to like lift that thing up after one failed attempt, I was like, I don't know if I'm even going to be able to do this. It is a really deep cabinet. The thing is practically a cocktail.
It's like three feet deep.
Yeah, the monitor is almost laid down all the way horizontal. You could like cut off the top of it, and it would be like a cocktail. It is, and black and white monitors are not 19. They're
23.
That's a 23 in there. Yeah, so it's heavier. And we did take the control panel off after we figured that we had to, because it wouldn't clear.
Yeah, that was the best part. Was we got it halfway up the stairs, and the steering wheel started hitting the ceiling. And so with it like teetering on the fucking stairs, and Jordan being like, "It's coming down, it's coming down," we're like reaching in there and trying to pull the control panel off so it'll go up the rest of the way. It was, I'm glad we didn't die.
Yeah,
Jordan would have been fine.
I was at the top. It was you guys. The game probably would have suffered, but we got it out in one piece, and then
had Toby and me to cushion it, though.
That's right.
You broke the arcade moving rule. The new owner is supposed to be on the bottom doing all the work.
Ah, this one, the guy
was doing
on the top.
More work on the top.
Yeah, was he? Okay.
Yeah. As soon as we were moving the second one, I said, "I don't care. I'm just not going to be on the top again." That's It's really hard there. That last stair is impossible. But we had a much easier time. So it sat on my truck in my garage for what has it been? A month? I don't know. 3 weeks. And tonight when Brian came over, he said he'd help me move it down. And I made it easy on this. I actually took the monitor out. I took the board out. I even took the back door off. And then I did not have it on a hand truck. I just had it by itself. And we slid it down the stairs. And I practically didn't do anything. Brian just kind of kept it from falling. And it was much easier.
Yeah, it was surprisingly easy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you could really. Yep, that was a good way. And I should have stuck by my guns and just said, "No hand truck, let's just push this thing up," because that's a heavy hand truck. We're probably pushing an extra 80 pounds up that we didn't have to.
I love that after all of that hassle getting it out of a basement, you fucking immediately put it in another basement.
Believe me, I thought about it. It's like, God, do I want to make room? I have like no room in my garages right now because I have a bunch of my mom's stuff and she's kind of in between houses. So it's hard enough for me to like make paths to even walk from one door to another in the garage in the shop. So it's like, oh man, it's going down. I know I can make room for it.
Does she go out to the shop to smoke weed with you?
No. We just smoke it in the house or backyard.
Those games with like the low mounted monitors, they're so hard to get leverage on. It's just all the weight's just so concentrated there. Qbert's kinda like that too, where it's mounted really aggressively. And it's a pain in the ass to move.
Yeah, just tipping them, just tipping them to get the balance point for me. Well, hand truck is.
Yeah, you just have to tip them even more.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Jordan when you guys were away about basement moving tactics. And in my old basement, I had to, at the top landing, I had to like you were saying, the game has to be almost completely upright to get it off the last spot because there's no room to like tilt the game. And so
the landings are too small, basically. The game can't be laying down to fit on the landing, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the times I'd have to climb on top of the game or climb through the game with the monitor removed and just do stupid shit. And it's funny the things that we go through to move these fucking games.
That's one of the reasons I have the 720.
I didn't want to move it?
Because you couldn't fit it down in your basement, right?
You
couldn't actually get it down into the basement. I thought that was the story.
I think it's because I thought it sucked and I didn't want to move it to the basement. And the head probably would have fell off too, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. I helped you move so many games up out of that basement.
Mm-hmm. Fuck. Yeah.
I remember coming over because you guys were stuck in the basement.
I think that's like a rite of passage.
Who this is why I did you? Not buy a house with a basement. I explicitly bought a house with no basement, so I would never be tempted to put a video game in it.
Is that it? All your updates, Jordan?
Yeah, I think that's all I've been doing. I don't think I've done anything else with video games. I haven't really been playing them, just like you. I guess there's probably high scores I should be working on. I played Ladybug on the Arcade SD a couple times, and I was like, oh, I kind of forget how to play. And then I looked, and my high score was almost like 50,000 points. I was like, I guess I do know how to play this. Obviously, you'll see that on the gameplay. It doesn't look like I know how to play it.
You did know how to play.
I did know how to play.
No, you did.
I did, yeah, not anymore.
That was old Jordan. That old score was old Jordan. Yeah. That was like ages
fat
ago.
Fat Jordan could do that.
Fat Jordan. Oh, Fat Jordan used to be so good. To my fat rich friend, my fat friend Jordan.
Well, I got people bugging me to have parties. You know, everybody's getting vaccinated now that everybody can do it. They, you know, when are you going to have a party? When are you going to have a party? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that?
Fucking come on, Jordan. Come on. Yeah. Super spreading.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have a vax-only party. Make people show the proof.
Show your card at the door.
Show the card. I carry a card around. Fuck it. I mean, if it's going to get me in, we're going to have a vaccine supporter section, I'm pretty sure, at Timbers soon. Other clubs already have it, so I'm down.
How do you know it's legit?
Oh, the card? No, you can look at mine if you want to Photoshop one or whatever. Just don't be around me if you're not.
That's a thing. You can buy fake ones.
I don't need to Photoshop.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we'll be just able to record together next month.
Yeah, just for the hell of it.
Just for the hell of it. Just make different ones.
I have them in different colors if you want.
Yeah, I have all the different vaccines.
Fucking neon green cardstock, hot pink cardstock.
You should make a mug of it.
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea.
That's a good idea. You just have your mug and show them.
Fully vaccinated.
Are you vaccinated?
So I've been kind of busy the last couple months. I know I mentioned it a few episodes back that I got a millipede board and I was going to put that multipede kit on it. And I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but when I opened up the back of the centipede, the connector was kind of spliced where it had spliced out like the ground wire into like soldered directly onto the ground plane of the board. Yeah. And so I wanted to fix that before I put the millipede board on that connector, which I did. I repinned that ground on the edge connector, and I got the multipede kit in there, and it's pretty awesome. It's the one that has
centipede and multipede
breakout. It has centipede and multipede. It has centipede and millipede, and it has warlords, and it also has super breakout on it. And warlords and super breakout are surprisingly pretty good to play with a trackball. I wasn't sure. I think breakout is probably the best one to play.
That seems
weird. Yeah, it's kind of weird. And with warlords, you know, it kind of sucks because you can only play one player. So, I mean, it's kind of the novelty of being able to play it on.
Not if you have multipedes.
If you have multipedes over there, then
Link's they can all play with cabinets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serial port link.
That would be pretty sweet.
Fiber.
But yeah, I give a thumbs up to, I think it's called the Super Multipede Kit or something like that. I think I got it on.
Super Multipede Lord. Kit.
What is it? Is it like a I think that's on high score saves, right? Is that
yep.
Is it like the actual multipede kit, the Braze one, where it's utilizing existing stuff and they just modify it?
Yeah, you plug it into a multipede board, and I've heard that millipede board. Jesus Christ. I've heard that you can actually a millipede PCB can be modified to become a warlord's PCB is what I've heard. It's a speth thing. Arc speth. That's where I heard it.
Yep. So I got that installed and I'm really enjoying playing millipede. So, you know, like I said, centipede wasn't one I spent a lot of time with back in the day, and millipede was not either. And I kind of thought, seeing how hectic and frantic millipede was, that I would not like it as much as centipede, but I actually like it a lot more, and it's super, super fun to play. So I've been really enjoying having that in my centipede cabaret.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of millipede over centipede. I love that game.
I love the DDT aspect and more enemies.
Lots of enemies.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got that done, and I think the last time, two episodes ago, we spoke about me changing out the pots on my Tempest PCB, and all of a sudden it didn't work anymore, playing blind. And so those enclosed pots that I use, I just got like regular pots, kind of like they had on the board before. And once I took those other ones off. I think I'd actually bridged some solder or something from those, because you have to really stretch the legs on them to get them to fit in the holes that they go into. So I don't know if it was actually the pots that were the problem, or the fact that some solder kind of seeped through and I couldn't really tell because it was all covered up from those little squares. But once I put the new pots on, everything was good. And it kind of seems like it helped the jiggling vectors a little bit. But one thing that I have noticed is that if I have other games on around that game, that the jiggling gets worse. So I think it's a power issue, or maybe it needs to be in a different, on a different plug or something like that. So I don't know if it's actually interference from the games around it, or actually from them all being plugged into the same.
Just power. That's kind of like what we were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could just run an extension cord to a different outlet off a different circuit and just test that theory right quick.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. That's one thing I wanted to test.
Yeah.
I have encountered that exact problem before. The other way around, though, if I put my Tempest next to my Dig Dug Cabaret, then the Tempest monitor's deflection will cause interference on the Dig Dug monitor. Mm-hmm. So I had to swap those around. So it's Dig Dug Centipede Tempest, and that seems to work okay. Definitely not a power thing. It's the interference of the vector monitor for whatever reason.
Yeah, I was going to try. If plugging it into a different outlet didn't work, I was going to try to rearrange and like put it at the end of the row and see if that made a difference. Because right now it's sandwiched between Root Beer Tapper and Dragon's Lair. So if I turn both of those on, then the wiggly, jiggly vectors get definitely more wiggly and jiggly.
I'm going to report your Tempest to the FCC, Ian.
Yeah. Need a Faraday cage on that shit. Yeah. That's what I actually experienced when I was talking earlier. It was a vector game, and it was doing the squigglies, and it was because of poor power at the wall. And you have an old house, not as old as mine, but
it's also going through one of those, you know, computer power switch deals. So I was wondering if maybe that, the one that I have it on where each of the plugs are able to turn off and on individually, maybe is not grounded well or is not as good a quality as maybe another one. I have a few others I could switch it out if I find that maybe has something to do with it. But yeah, I don't know. But to be continued on that. I got the monitor in my Mortal Kombat working with chassis that Jordan lent me.
Nice.
And so I like replaced pots on that. I did some work on that chassis.
I need that back now.
Oh, damn it.
Just kidding. You too.
I did some work. It probably needs a cap kit, but it's working now. So that's awesome.
I'll need it back then. Sorry.
You need it back
after the cap kit.
No, yeah, after you do the cap kit, can you send it back, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I think when I had that kind of power surge or whatever with the flyback, something happened to the Mortal Kombat 2 board because it won't sync. And so I haven't done any troubleshooting on that yet, but I assume something got possibly fried on the board where the sync is concerned. So right now it's just running Mortal Kombat, which is fine because it's in a Mortal Kombat cabinet, so I can test my might all the time.
Finish him.
Yeah.
Fatalities. Your Mortal Kombat 2 got to test your might. Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 1's test your might. The sound, well, actually, my Robotron would boot, and I couldn't. So I think it might have been playing blind, and I couldn't hear it because the soundboard went flaky on me. So the soundboard has been flaky before, and I would kind of reseat connectors, and it would be okay. But it happened enough that I went ahead and replaced the header pins on the soundboard, and that seemed to clear it up for a while, and then the sound just went completely out. So as I was trying to fix this, I was like reseating everything, and I pulled the NV RAM out and accidentally broke one of the legs off. So that got me...
Dumbass.
That led me to being able to figure out how to fix that, which putting it into a socket and soldering the stub, the leg stub, onto the socket. So I was able to fix that, which was good. But then I figured out that the 5-volt regulator on the soundboard was bad because all the other power test points were fine. But where the unregulated went in was fine, but where it came out, it was like 0.5 volts. So I just ordered a new 5-volt regulator, put it in, and it got sound again. So that was awesome. I like when you can figure out what the hell's going on and replace a part, and it works. That was great. The last thing was, I thought this was kind of funny. I think I mentioned this before with the Battle Zone where, you know, now I can't remember what the problem was. What was the problem with the Battle Zone monitor? Oh, yeah, it would fade out every once in a while. And I like searched on Clav at one point, and Jordan, you actually posted about this exact issue.
That's too funny.
And
I don't remember.
And what you had said that you had reflowed the header pins on the chassis.
Oh,
and
okay. It's
like, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. So I did the same thing because I'd already replaced the pots on the chassis, and that didn't help it. And after I replaced the pots, like I would get half of the screen would go out, and I was like, oh shit. But then half the screen would come back. So I was like, oh, well, it's not, it's just an intermittent issue. So it's probably, you know, some kind of connection. So reflowing the header pins on the chassis seems to have worked. I've played it quite a bit and like let it burn in, just have it running in the garage for a while. And it seems to be good. So looking forward to moving that one inside the house at some point.
That's like the number one problem on those monitors is the header pins that I've come across. I think Ian probably.
Sure. Was that cloth thread? Posted from Fat Jordan.
Yeah, definitely. It was huge, Jordan.
It was huge. So like back in like 2010 or something. You've had a lot of annoying shit problems lately with your like flaky stuff, man.
Yeah, but luckily everything is fixed at the moment.
I thought that about like Toby's games when he listed all his games for sale. I'm like, wow, that's a big collection of broken games. Those fuckers all worked at one time. It's like he's got bad luck.
Well, if you don't play them, then you don't know they're broken. Or if you, or once they do break, they add up fast. If you just, and then you get in that hole, right, where you just you get overwhelmed. You're like, fuck it, I'm done. I don't want to get beat down. And all of a sudden, you have like at one point, right? I had all broken games. Yeah, I only had like one game out of everything, and it was tough to get out of. But I just, yeah, one at a time.
Yeah, I feel like at that point you got to like focus on one issue and get that done and then move on to the next issue.
That's why I keep all my broken games in the warehouse where I don't have to look at them.
There you go. To be determined.
So yeah, I think that was all the major things that I've done recently. I kind of got on a kick on playing Root Beer Tapper and put up my best score, which is 151,325.
Woo!
Damn, nice.
And that got me through like the space level onto the next Western bar onto the next sports arena. And I think that's about as far as it went.
Wow.
But yeah, I got kind of on a kick there playing that, and I can get past the space level relatively easily.
Damn.
So I can't even get up to the space level. I always get stuck on the punk rock bar.
Yeah. I love Tapper. It's such a great game.
It is a good game. Very frantic, but you have to think as well.
And the Root Beer Tapper, the side art is quite different from normal Tapper because it's more cartoony and doesn't actually show the angry patrons. It just shows a happy soda jerk serving up your root beer.
It's true.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same as the color Tapper where it's kind of more goofy.
Yeah, I don't really like the color. I don't really like the color version of the Tapper.
Yeah, it's hideous. It's hideous.
It's rare. That's about it.
It's not worth it. Yeah. Rare,
because it sucks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of games that I got not because of nostalgia, Superbug. I got no nostalgia for that. I actually kind of hate the way, I kind of don't like the game. Don't like to play it. All that even. Fucking trouble. I know, but.
It's a good game to have in your basement.
It's a good game. I think
taking it through two basements, you get it down to the basement. This game fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's a good shape, and it looks cool. I like it. I don't know. I want to like it. So now I have to.
It almost reminds me a lot of like Fire Truck.
It's just like Fire Truck. Yeah.
And Fire Truck fucking sucks. So.
It's like Fire Truck without some asshole behind you fucking your shit up. So maybe it's better.
It has a little bit more going on for it than Fire Truck though. I did play it a couple times. Is that the one that Envision Dan used to own, or does he have one too? Yeah.
He's got one too.
Doug had a fire truck forever.
Doug, I was talking about
Super Vision Bug. Dan used to have Superbug. Yeah.
Yeah. But the graphics are, you know, you look at them, they're kind of the same thing. But yeah,
Superbug's pretty fun. I played it a lot because of it was in the Grinker's Bronze Age Challenge.
Nice.
Last time, maybe? I don't know.
It's always frustrated the hell out of me.
It's definitely one that you get to a certain point, and it's really difficult to get your score past that. At least it was for me.
It reminds me of Speed Freak, where it's like, it's very slow to accelerate, and then once it finally gets up to speed, it's like you can't control it.
Well, a lot of those black and white drivers were like that. I feel like Sprint is the same way, really.
Yeah, it gets uncontrollable at the peak. Is Superbug the one where I've played it, but isn't the car stuck in the middle of the screen and then there's like a gel on top? Okay.
There's yellow gel on top.
That's I always thought that was funny.
The top and the bottom. Yeah.
I love how creative they got with that. They just fucking car fucking stays in the center so we could make it put a gel on top.
Yellow car.
I love how they got creative with that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's it for me.
Sweet.
Shall we call it an episode?
I think we did it.
Yes, good job. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, so send us an email. Like, we had some good emails on this episode at coinrejects@gmail.com and send us a voicemail at
503-766-2263. Operators are standing by.
And now go play some Ladybug.
Yeah. Go get some vegetables.
Vegetables. Eat your vegetables.